time and related ailments. Three ailments related to the belief of time are age, memory, and vision. In this recording, we will take a look at these ailments, and particularly what one of the greatest geniuses of all time in Christian Science healing has found in his researches, which will be of immeasurable value in healing each one of these. I'm referring to Frederick L. Rawson, who also discovered how to treat back in time. There's no record of him ever failing to heal any situation that he was faced with from his patients. He wrote several books, and two in particular that we will review regarding these topics are Life Understood and Treatment or Healing by True Prayer. We will also discuss the topic of matter, because that relates directly to the limitation of capabilities and functionality related to time. We will begin with reviewing the three introductory quotes to the textbook, which apparently was Mary Baker Eddy's message to everyone that decided to open the textbook and read anything out of it at all, what our thought must remember as a guiding light. The first of their three quotes is from Jesus, quoted by John in the book of John, the Gospel. "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." The second one is by Shakespeare. "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." And the third one by Mary Baker Eddy herself, which states, "Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest, thou here and everywhere." The first one appears to be self-explanatory, but keep in mind that being set free means set free from anything at all that is not true. So that covers the whole gamut of everything in the material, so-called material universe. Now, one thing very important to remember is that John asked Jesus, "Is there a material body?" And Jesus said, "No." And then John asked Jesus, "Is there a material universe?" And Jesus responded, "Most people believe that there is, but there is not." So we can begin with the foundation that there is no matter and there is no material body or material universe. And if we accept those as a standard foundation, that solves an immeasurable number of ailments, including time, age, memory, and vision. Frederick L. Rawson indicated that they used to teach in the UK, which is his homeland, that there was no time. Now imagine that being a foundation of the teaching of mathematics, or the teaching of philosophy, or history, or any subject that relates to time. Why would they stop teaching it? The item that comes to thought immediately is that they wanted to control the public. Because if the public did not believe in time, they would not believe in age, they would not believe in matter, they would not believe in memory loss, they would not believe in vision loss. or dilution of any of those. And that would affect a lot of industries. That would affect the optometry industry, the medical industry, the undertakers, the people selling drugs for memory. And all of these are built on false information, but they want to perpetuate themselves. And most of them do it blindly, not really realizing that they are studying something that is an art instead of a science. And that things change all the time, which means that they are not studying a science. Because anything that is a science is factual and does not change, because it's based on truth. Frederick L. Rawson indicated that one of the primary topics that we need to handle in every treatment is the belief of matter. And of course, Mary Baker Eddy includes as a topic that needs to be covered in every treatment is mortal mind, because that's the belief that there is a mind other than the divine, incorporeal, supreme, and infinite mind of God. Bicknell Young was the first one, I believe, that made a flat-out statement that the only mind that exists is the mind of God. And therefore, that was his mind. And even though Mary Baker Eddy made that very clear in her definition of God, that God was omni-mind, and therefore that means one only in all, people didn't pick up on it. They could relate to maybe spirit, or they could relate to maybe principle, or even love. But when it talked about mind, everybody believes that a brain is what enables them to function. They believe that their capacity, capability, functionality, facility, the ability to even act or communicate through the nerves comes from brain. And they don't get the idea that they need to jump over that bridge of limitation and accept that the only mind there is the mind of God. And therefore, if we seem to forget something, we should go to God, because God is, as defined in omniscience, God is all intelligence, all wisdom, and all knowing. So if we tend to forget something, all we have to do is go to God, because God is the source of all knowledge. He is all knowing. And the knowledge that God can provide is spiritual. So it does not change. It does not wear out. It can't be diluted. It can't be competed with. It can't be stopped or reversed. It can't be deflected. Can't be diluted. So that's the kind of knowledge that we want to have. Having material knowledge is of very little value. And if universities really did their job to teach their students, they wouldn't try to teach them individual facts about any topic, but they would spend their time in teaching them how to think. Because if you understand how to think, you can go and find the information you need anywhere. And you don't have to clutter up a so-called brain with information. You just need to know where you can get the information. Henry Ford, which is really the inventor of mass production of automobiles, he had a row of buttons on his desk. And if he wanted to get a question answered by any of his departments, he would push a button for the manager of that department, and he would come, or maybe he could talk to him over some kind of voice communication, but he would be in contact with that individual and get the answer to whatever information he needed. Of course, with the internet, anyone that has access to the internet through a cell phone or through a computer has a plethora of information available on any topic you can dream of. That's assuming you're using a search engine that is not Google, for Google is highly censored, giving you only the information they want you to have which means it protects their censorship agenda, which means they don't want you to know about independent thinking, but they only want you to know about communistic controlled thinking, mind control, and they want to be at the top of the food chain. That's one of the reasons that they need to be disposed of or totally taken over, and to have honest people that are running it. They bought WikiLeaks, and the founder of WikiLeaks is shocked that they have so compromised the content of WikiLeaks that it does not even represent what it is supposed to represent, because they have used programming and they have edited out anything that is contrary to what they want you to have access to. For example, you can do a search on President Trump, and of course they have a total detest for him because he represents freedom. He represents what the people want. And of course, Google represents what Google wants. The same with other top organizations that are controlling an enormous amount of capital, such as Vanguard and BlackRock and State Street and Wall Street, banksters, any number, the Federal Reserve, which is a private banking system that is basically having tremendous control over the U.S. financial system, which they should have no control over it because they're privately held. They're not for the public. They are for themselves. The Rothschild family is the one that heads it up out of England. They're not even in the U.S. And they've been doing this for 200 years. We have a link at the bottom of every one of our web pages. It's in the footer. And it is a link to Yandex, Yandex. And that is a search engine that has no censoring. So if it is on the internet anywhere, you will be able to find it by utilizing Yandex. And that is a far cry from what you can get from any of the search engines that are located in the U.S. That one happens to be located in Russia. And Russia is, regardless of what the propaganda is about Russia being bad, that is the opposite of the truth. We have friends that visit Russia frequently, and they can't wait to go back there once they come back to the U.S. because they say it is the land of the free. It's the land of friendly, cultured people who will invite you into their home and have a conversation with you. Many people over there are very well educated, including the English language. And of course, if you study culture at all, you'll find that most of the fine things come from that part of the world. And Russia is by far the largest country in the world, and they have by far the greatest amount of resources. They have the most advanced military, and their budget for everything is a fraction of what it is in the U.S., and yet they have the most advanced in all the technologies, or at least a lion's share of the technology. Composers, think of music composers. Many are from Russia. Sports stars, many from Russia, because what they do is they go to all of the regions of Russia and they attract them to come to Moscow and get their education. So they end up educating the best of the best from all of their regions so that they produce the finest that there is in the world. The U.S. would be capable of doing that if they weren't corrupt. Russia expelled all of the bankers from the Rothschild family. They shut them down. They expelled all the people that tried to promote the pandemic because they recognized it as a fraud. They have torn down all of their towers that were 5G towers, which were put up for the purpose of controlling the population. They believe in two genders. If you have a different idea in mind about your sexual orientation, they will put you in jail. or they will deport you, because they want to have a moral society and not something that is twisted or perverted. The reason that the U.S. tries to promote hating Russia is because they have not been able to control Russia. The U.S. CIA controls many countries, but they can't get their foot in the door in Russia. Russia has one of the finest intelligence departments in the whole world. And as a matter of fact, Putin came from that department of the country. So when he became the president, there was a president over there that really knew what he was doing in dealing with all of the intelligence data. Russia is the one that saved the Allies from being defeated by Hitler. It was the Russian army that defeated the Hitler army. Otherwise, we would have had Hitler on the streets of the United States. No one has ever been able to defeat Russia. Napoleon tried to do it. Didn't get anywhere. Napoleon was able to defeat every other country, but not Russia. We used to have Russia build all of our rockets up until Elon Musk got involved. I thought NASA used to build them, but that was false information. The U.S. used to promote NASA as being the builder of the rockets, as well as other military-industrial complex companies that rob the U.S. taxpayers blind, charging the U.S. taxpayers a multiple of what Russia builds the same or superior things for at a fraction of the cost. I believe it was Russia's entire military budget that was something like 10 or 15% of the budget of the U.S. military. And yet, Russia has always had the most advanced fighter jet airplanes. They now have the most advanced missiles. They have the largest arsenal of nuclear weapons. They have the largest army of ground forces. The people in Russia fight for their country because they are fighting for their country. They're not fighting because they are satisfying some politician in Congress that wants to send people that they don't even know to the front lines to be slaughtered and to have endless wars. Mary Baker Eddy points out the importance of us exposing the evil. We cannot get to the truth until we find out what the evil is trying to do. The workings of evil have been exposed in many of these prayer treatments. I will just give you some highlights. One is it works on deception. Two is decoys. Three is it tries to disparage the character of anyone that is promoting truth, because it does not want truth to be known. As a matter of fact, one of the programs of the CIA is called Project Mockingbird, and that has been in existence for about 60 years. And the director of that program and the director of the CIA many decades ago said that when everyone in America believes that something is true but it's false, then we will know we have accomplished our goal with Project Mockingbird. So they're in the business of deceiving the entire population of America. Really bad, really corrupt, and it would be better for America if the entire CIA operation were dismantled from top to bottom. And that's what has to happen from top to bottom, because the lower ones follow the orders of their superiors. And they have bases all over the world. And believe it or not, their main operation is under the Lake Geneva in Switzerland. It's not in a military base in the U.S. It's not in Washington, D.C. in the U.S. It used to be in an Air Force base in the Washington, D.C. area in Maryland, which is right next to Washington, D.C. But they were so concerned that they were going to be arrested by the Gitmo operation by Trump that they, in fear, left the U.S. and started an underground facility underneath the Lake Geneva. That's pretty pathetic. When our organization and an agency of the U.S. government is operating underneath Lake Geneva in Switzerland, that tells you just how corrupt they are and how fearful they are about being exposed. One thing we want to always remember is to strive for total impersonal concepts instead of personality. If we want to heal a vision problem, one of the first things we have to do is to look for the truth, as the first quote at the beginning of the textbook states. And the truth is that nothing true is related to personality, because personality is the belief that life, truth, and intelligence is in a material birth, and that material birth begins with problems, and the problems only continue to aggravate and compound throughout the life of the individual, and finally peaks out and then deteriorates into nothingness. So we want to combat that belief, which is a universal false belief about the true man or the true sons and daughters of God, because man is a generic name. It doesn't mean a male, and it doesn't mean a female. It means everybody, male, female, and neuter. What do I mean by neuter? Well, let's say you're talking about the beauty of something. That doesn't mean it's male or female, although it could be that if you're talking about birds, the male birds usually are much more colorful than the female birds. But generally speaking, when you talk about man, you're talking about all three, the male, the female, and the neuter. And what do I mean by male? Well, qualities such as strength and life and courage. What do I mean by female? Qualities such as nurturing, caring for, being tender, being kind, gentle. Those are normally attributed to the female characteristics of man. And of course, the ideal thing is that we want to establish our universal character of being male, female, and neuter. So we want to be able to express the female qualities, the male qualities, and the neuter qualities. Then we will be a complete person or individual within ourselves and do not depend upon anyone else to prop us up in an area where we are weak. Because our whole education should be between God and we, not between one individual and another individual, or one personality and another personality, or one personality and an individual. Individual is the term normally associated with not identifying as a personality, but as an idea, a reflection of God, a reflection of the qualities of the source of man, and that is God. So that's our goal. Our goal is to understand our identity and our source. And of course, that goes a long way in helping us solve any problem with any ailment, including the ones we've said was going to be our primary topic here in this recording, which is time, which affects and has related to it age and memory and vision. Let's look at a catch-all treatment. And the reason I say that is the title is internal organs. So anything that's inside the skin, I guess, would be classified as an internal organ. Having been raised in a Christian Science family, we were exempted from any classes in school that taught about the body and any organs or whatever. And I'm very grateful for that. But as a result, I don't even know the names, which is just fine, of almost everything that's inside under the skin. Okay, so this one says the following. Man's internal organs, or whatever organ is out of place, are never out of place. They are always in place, working perfectly, ministering to man and benefiting man. The organs never cause trouble. They are ideas of God, spiritual and perfect, doing their work perfectly, giving man joy and happiness. And then it's advice here. It says work against symptoms such as weakened muscles, old age, inflammation, and tumors, if likely. And this is from page 185. And everything from his writings are on our website. And this book is broken down paragraph by paragraph. Just click on the button up in the top of the where the page is that says subtitles. And as mentioned, there are 1,315 different topics covered. So you really can drill down to exactly what you're looking for. Now, he also says that the internal organs are the power of assimilating and digesting the ideas of God. So you see, he doesn't talk about food, digesting food. He talks about the ideas of digesting the ideas of God, assimilating and digesting the ideas of God. So, for example, that would be the definition. I believe he has that under bladder, B-L-A-D-D-E-R, assimilating and digesting the ideas of God. And, of course, that's when they release what has been processed in the so-called organ mentioned. Another thing he says we should think about is working for weakened muscles. And he has a paragraph on that. And on old age. And I'll read some of these to you in a minute. Unbalanced food. In other words, like it has not yet been digested, or maybe it's having a problem digesting, which means breaking it up into the small elements. And he recommends that we also study about matter, which is the opposite of spirit. And the other book that I mentioned, which is Life Understood, has a whole section on matter. Very excellent. And he quotes physicists of the past years and how they have come to the conclusion that there is no matter. But again, people don't believe it because they think if you can touch it, it's made out of what is called matter. But when they were working on breaking down the atom, they realized that they could break it down into smaller and smaller parts. And finally, they realized there was nothing there but what they were thinking of in their consciousness. And that was creating the image for everybody on the team that was looking at it. Each one had their own idea on what it was going to look like, but they all came to the conclusion that it was energy that was vibrating at a high rate of speed that made it look like it was opaque, when in fact it was transparent. just like electricity. It's transparent. Here are some texts on some of these topics just mentioned. Old age. There is no old age. For a man has existed and always will exist. A perfect being in a perfect world, governed by a perfect God, having life eternal. Man is God's consciousness, as infinite as God. He reflects life and has all power and strength. He reflects mind and is ever active and ever energetic. None of his organs can be worn out, as all are spiritual and perfect, reflecting life and substance, ministering to man and benefiting man, giving him infinite joy and happiness as he moves in thought joyously in the realm of mind. Recommend working with the idea of stiffness, which we'll read in a minute. Okay, the next one is muscles. There are no weakened muscles. Man's muscles are God's thought forces, having absolute power and strength. Man's muscles cannot be stretched, for all God's ideas are in the right place, ministering to man and benefiting man. Man's muscles never fail to act properly. They are ideas of God and divine. No nerves can ever cause the muscles to work improperly, for man's nerves are spiritual, ministering to man and benefiting man. There is no want of coordination, for all ideas are governed by the one mind, God. I already read the one on internal organs, so I'll go on to the next one, and these are in alphabetic order, as suggested by the paragraph above. And this one is on stiffness. There is no stiffness. Man moves from idea to idea with absolute ease and power. Nothing can stop the movement of man's limbs. Man's limbs are his power of moving from idea to idea. God's power, spiritual and perfect, working perfectly with unfailing regularity and ease. No muscles can ever be stiffened. Man's muscles are God's thought forces, delighting man in their suppleness of movement. There are no hardened tissues. Man's tissues are spiritual, ever active, reflecting life and mind and every quality of God. And then it says work against poison and matter and for circulation of the blood and nerves. And we already read the part about, circulation of the blood. Okay, here's a treatment on heart. There is no weakness of the heart. Man's heart is the knowledge of God as love, and love is omnipotent, for love is God. There is no want of circulation of the blood. Man's blood is the joy circulating right throughout the consciousness with perfect ease and unceasing regularity. Love is the power which causes that joy to circulate, and love is omnipotent, for love is God. God is the principle of all law and all order, And man's heart, working in unity with God, reflects absolute law and order. Every function is governed by divine mind. Okay, here's one on, and these are in alphabetic order, relapse. There is no relapse, for man is spiritual and perfect. Man can never get worse. He reflects entity and is always the same. Man is made in the image and likeness of God, reflecting every aspect and quality of God to an infinite degree, divine and perfect. Matter. There is no matter. All is spirit, and the manifestation of spirit, the principle of all purity and holiness. Therefore, no material ideas. All ideas are spiritual, always in the right place, ministering to man and benefiting man. Here's one on poison of the blood. There is no poison of the blood. Man's blood is the joy which circulates right throughout the consciousness, pure, perfect, divine, and holy. Okay, here's the treatment on weakness. There is no weakness. Man reflects life and has all power and strength. Infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all, and all. Man reflects mind and is ever energetic, for man is the reflection of God and reflects God, individualizing the infinite power of infinite love. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? She says also to check out exhaustion and strength. We've already done strength. Oh, no, we didn't. It's right here. Strength. There is no weakness. Man reflects life and has all power and strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Man reflects mind and is ever active and ever energetic. For man is the reflection of God and reflects God, individualizing the infinite power of infinite love. Man's muscles are God's thought forces, reflecting infinite power. Man is never tired, for man is spiritual. Man is the expression of the unlabored energy that is God. There is no matter to make man weary. All is spirit and the manifestation of spirit. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Man is strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Man is strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? Nothing takes place but the action of God, the principle of good. Okay, another thing that was recommended was exhaustion, and here's a paragraph on exhaustion. Man is never exhausted. Man reflects life and has infinite power and infinite strength. Man reflects mind and is ever active and ever energetic. Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power, and the glory, and the victory, and the majesty. Man rejoices in his work, which never tires him, but giveth him joy and happiness. Ascribe ye strength unto God. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Man is strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. And then there's a paragraph on internal organs, which has already been read. Okay, we didn't see anything on vision, so let me see what I can find on vision. Here's some treatments from Frederick L. Rawson on vision. Matter. There is no matter. All is spirit, and the manifestation of spirit, the principle of all purity and holiness. Therefore, no material ideas. All ideas are spiritual, always in the right place, ministering to man and benefiting man. Astigmatism. There is no astigmatism. Man's eyes are spiritual and perfect. Man's eyeball is never out of shape. Man's eyeball is spiritual and perfect, for God is the principle of all law and order. And all God's ideas are governed by law and order. Man's muscles are never out of order. Everything in consciousness is perfect and works perfectly. Cataract. There is no cataract, for the lens of man's eye is spiritual, perfect, divine, pure, and holy. None of God's ideas can become opaque, for they reflect the absolute purity of infinite spirit, the principle of all purity and holiness. Nothing exists which can ever prevent man from discerning God's ideas, for man has infinite capacity to discern the ideas of God. Headache. There are no headaches. All is bliss and joy, peace and rest and harmony. Man's head never gives pain. Man's head is spiritual, the Christ capacity to know God, giving joy and happiness. Pain. There is no pain. All is bliss and joy and happiness. Man lives and moves and has his being in peace. The God of peace gives man peace by all means. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy. That's from Psalms 52, verse 11. The sons of God shouted for joy. That's from Job 38. Unto thy presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16. I don't know whether I read exactly this, but this is under nerves. There are no material nerves to carry pain. Man's nerves are spiritual, channels in consciousness through which God's ideas come to man, giving him perpetual joy and happiness. From Philippians, rejoice in the Lord. From Nehemiah, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And from Science and Health, page 214, spirit's senses are without pain, and they are forever at peace. Nothing can hide from them the harmony of all things and the might and permanence of truth. Okay, this is regarding pain. It says, use the denial very frequently, as this means temporary relief. The dematerialization of the thoughts causing the pain. Always, however, follow each denial with one or more affirmations. Inside the eyeball is a clear, crystal-like body called the lens, which acts as a kind of magnifying glass. In case of cataract, this lens becomes opaque and the sight correspondingly dim. That's the end of the text from Frederick L. Rawson on these particular topics. And what one would want to do is to think about the seven synonymous terms that we teach in these recordings and the four operators of the Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, and expand on any one of these solutions that is offered by Frederick L. Rawson and incorporate and relate it to the various of the seven synonymous terms and also the four operators. And then we're really drilling down and focusing on any particular aspect of these variety of paragraphs that have to do with healing vision from various kinds of problems. Since this treatment is already 47 minutes long and matter is a key element of objections to perfection, because our real substance is spirit and matter, of course, is the opposite, this will be the end of this treatment, and there will be another one on just the topic of matter. Before I close, I hereby express my gratitude for the wonderful contributions made by Frederick L. Rawson to give us clues on the right way to work to heal any ailment. And there have been probably 10 or 15 examples in this recording. And then we can take any one of those and elaborate on it by utilizing the definition of God, the definition of good, scientific statement of being, the quotes at the beginning of the textbook, and any other number of references that are related to these topics. I'm grateful for Christ Jesus to have given us the beginnings of Christianity, getting it established, for Mary Baker Eddy reinstituting the healing element of Christianity, which had been neglected for some 1,500 years. I'm grateful for all of the geniuses involved in Christian Science and their writings and their exemplary examples of being a Christian Science practitioner, where they were able to basically heal everything that they were faced with, including but not limited to sin, sickness, disease, and some of them overcame death. Everything is possible to God. This is a statement that Frederick L. Rawson used to overcome the belief of time and to be able to heal back in time prior to the date of the action being researched for a particular problem. There is nothing like Christian Science because it provides both the science and the religion of Christianity. As Einstein stated, religion without science is blind, and science without religion is lame. And Mary Baker Eddy gave us the solution for both of those elements of a true religion and a true science. I will close by reading the Diapason of Heaven for love, keeping in mind that love means wholeness, completeness. And as a reminder, the Diapason of Heaven prayer treatments are on the website under Prayer Treatments, Diapason of Heaven. Diapason of Heaven for love. Unreality of belief of an evil mind. In Genesis we read, God saw the light, that it was good. Then good is light. So if we keep our eye single to good, our consciousness and whole being will be full of light. So no matter how difficult it may be to declare for light, if we declare for good, we shall have the light, for good is mind, and reveals the light that destroys darkness. We must know the utter unreality of the belief of an evil mind. There is no mind to create evil or matter. You must gain the assurance that a good mind is the only mind. This consciousness obtained reflects the Christ consciousness. The 11th chapter of Hebrews assures us that a good mind is the only mind. We must declare good constantly. Mrs. Eddy speaks of the Diapason of Heaven in these words: good is my God, and my God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love. That's from Miscellaneous Writings 206. We must establish good as our mind above everything else. Good is our light, and our light is good. Know that there is just one I or us, and that is God, good, mind. Your identity is the reflection of the one I or us, mind. Hold to that identity. Do not identify yourself with evil or error. Do not claim a so-called material ego, which denies good and says, I have no understanding, or I have so little understanding. When you do this, you put understanding away from you. You must rise up and affirm that you do have understanding, light, and infinite goodness. Declare, I have understanding. I have faith. I have spiritual consciousness. I have all there is. There is no consciousness apart from God, and I am at one with God. So declare for light. Keep your eye single to good. Man, the spiritual idea, dwells in light. Mrs. Eddy tells us that the spiritual idea, Christ, dwells forever in the bosom of the Father. God, from which it illumines heaven and earth. So your being is filled with light. Claim this. Declare this light until all error, darkness, disappears. Amen.